Let's, for the message this morning, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to 2 Corinthians 5. We're gonna spend some time there. And I just say, I know there's a lot of visitors here this morning, and I'm just want you to feel very welcome. Really glad that you're here. This morning's message actually is sort of a continuation of last Sunday's message where we talked about the resurrection. And the word that we used last Sunday was that the resurrection is really a springboard forward for it's the jumping off point for us in our walk with Jesus. And let me just, the progression is this, that the cross is where we realize that we are a sinner. The cross is where we realize that we do wrong, and that wrong separates us from God. The cross is where that wrong is paid for, taken care of. And many times as Christians, we talked about this last Sunday, many times as Christians, we want to spend our time at the cross, always looking and saying, well, I failed here, got to go to the cross. I failed here, got to go to the cross. Or I can't do this. I'm so grateful for the cross. And that's good. We need to keep the cross. The cross is central. It's an anchor. But then if you look at the resurrection, and the New Testament teaching says, listen, the resurrection is really where new life is. Because of the resurrection, we as believers no longer have to live in the past. We can have a new life. And that resurrection of Jesus defeating death is now our springboard, and that is what we live life on. We move forward in life knowing that the old is dead, and we have new life. And we can live that way in full confidence. So, this morning, I'm going to look at three, what I call steps of faith this morning. And they'll be up there as I get through them on the screen behind me. But three steps of faith. And the process, my mind, just a little background of the way my mind, strange mind works sometimes, is I begin to think of what it was like for the early church after Jesus rose from the dead, and they began to now understand what is it like for us to be a follower of Jesus. The way they did things in the past, in the Jewish traditions, in the Jewish culture, that was changing. There was a new way of living for them. And this text where in Corinthians, where Paul writes to the Corinthian church, and he is really writing about his motivation for what they did as sharing the gospel with going around on his missionary journeys. But I want to draw from that, and I want to draw three steps here this morning that we take in our decision to follow Jesus. And we move forward from the resurrection and say, because of new life, this is what we do. I just believe the importance of studying the New Testament and understanding how the early church worked, how they lived, and the New Testament teaches us, okay, how do we live as followers of Jesus? How do we live with this new life? What is it like? The New Testament looks back on Jesus and says, because Jesus died and rose again, this is now what we do. This is how we move forward. The New Testament also gives us a glimpse into our future. Amen, church? As followers of Jesus, we have a future. It's a promise. It's a promise. So let's read 2 Corinthians 5. If you don't know where 2 Corinthians is, it is probably in the middle of the New Testament after Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Romans, Acts, Acts, Romans. You have 1 and 2 Corinthians. And again, Corinthians is a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth. We're going to start in verse 14. Just going to read this verbatim, just so we have a text here, and then we'll come back and break it down. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. No one said amen right there. All right, that should have just been spontaneous. I mean, that's good stuff. Let me reread it. But that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Amen. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. By the way, who is the we? The we is, Paul's talking about Paul and those working with him. So he's sort of writing a personal note to the church. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. How many of you grasp all that? Some of you are saying somewhat. So let's pray. God, there's a lot of depth in this text we just read. A lot of truth. And so, Holy Spirit, help us to understand. We don't want to waste our time here this morning, God. Holy Spirit, we need you to teach us from your word. Thank you so much for loving us enough to send your Holy Spirit to help us in times like this. Amen. Amen. All right, let's see if we can put this together. The first faith step of faith step one. Paul talks about a new way of looking at ourselves and others. The first step, when we make the decision to follow Jesus, when we step out as Jesus followers and we accept the forgiveness of our sin, it is a step of faith to look at ourselves and others through a new set of eyes. And Paul says it this way in verse 16 and 17. He says, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Remember what they were trying to do with Christ, Jesus, when he was here? They wanted to make him an earthly king, right? They viewed him through a worldly set of eyes. And Paul is saying, we don't do that any longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. So the question is, how do we see ourselves? We love the cross because the cross reminds us that our old self has been paid for. But it's time, church, that we start loving the empty tomb and saying, I am no longer my old self. I am someone new. Not because I no longer struggle with sin, not because I no longer do things that are wrong, but because of what Jesus did for us. And that's so essential, that our identity is anchored in what Jesus did, not in what we do or how we have changed. Now, does that mean we don't change? No. Through the work of God in our life does change. We do begin to put to death the old nature. People we hated, we no longer hate. People we hold grudges against, that grudge begins to go away, and we begin to offer forgiveness. The desires of the flesh, suddenly they are no longer there. But that is a growth process for the follower of Jesus. That is not our identity. Listen, you can still struggle with sin and still say, I am forgiven, I am a child of Jesus, because Jesus is our identity. We are not new in ourselves. We are new because of what Jesus did. The Creation of Christ class that Matt's teaching, by the way, you got a couple weeks yet if you want to join that class. He's going to be encouraging people to join here for a couple more weeks, but once we get so far along, then it's like, you're missing some of the core stuff. But there was, I'm going to say, 34 people there Tuesday night. What night are we meeting? Thursday night. I can't even think. Sorry. And that was really cool. But Thursday night, we talked about creation of the earth. And we talked about that God is a master designer. And we use flowers, and I gave an illustration, forget it. Sorry, Sherry. We use, you know, the flower and the petal and how beautiful that little flower is and how intricately it's made. And then we said, well, you know, our culture is saying that all this stuff just happened by chance, right? That's what the wise scientists of the day say, that the earth happened by chance. And that's just about us saying, well, that beautiful flower, and how many times could we throw it up in the air and it come down again until it becomes a beautiful flower again? You know, that's what chance is. No, the Bible says that God designed. He was a master designer. And what does it say about you? Sorry, Sherry. When God designs you really, really beautiful like this. And that's the new life that God wants to do in your heart. When you choose to follow Jesus, He wants to begin a work in you to design you into somebody that you never thought you could be. Because He loves you. He wants to change you. I love that about my God. I love that. I love that. Not only ourselves, but it's a new way of looking at others. Now, Ken, I'm going to use your name here. I don't know a lot about Ken's past, but assuming I grew up with Ken, Ken's a lot older than me, so I can't even remember. I don't even know what all he did in his past, but I'm going to assume that Ken did some things in his past that he regrets. And if I knew that stuff, every time I see Ken, I could look at his past and I could say, yep, there's Ken, and I remember, and I could see him based on his past. Paul is saying, no, that's not the way we look at people anymore. When we make a choice to follow Jesus, and I'm going to speak to you as a church, as those who are followers of Jesus, I'm going to speak very plainly to you. If you are a follower of Jesus, you no longer look at other followers of Jesus based on their past. You look at them as if they are forgiven. There is a significant difference in the way we view people when we begin to look at people through the eyes of the blood of Jesus and saying, I know that person's going to fail. And they're going to fail again and again and again. But I know their heart. I know they have asked Jesus to forgive them. They are forgiven. They are no different than I am. Is that a license just to keep doing what you want to do and not worry about sin? No, 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 no. But it's the way we look at people. And Paul is saying, listen, I no longer look at myself as a sinner. I no longer look at other people as sinners. I look at them as someone who has been forgiven because of their faith in Jesus. How would that change the church today if we could do that? I want to be a part of a church that does that. And I want you to help me to do that. You know, I may have the title of pastor, but I struggle too. It's so easy to look at people and not see them as Jesus sees them. Let's encourage each other, church, to do that. We are all equal in Jesus. Verse 14, Paul says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died." That means that there is no longer any race, black, white, red, whatever color. There's no longer race in the church. There's no longer a good Christian or a bad Christian. We are all forgiven. There is no longer social status. There is no longer wealth status. There is no longer ability status. There is no longer gifting status. We are equal in the eyes of Jesus. He died for all of us. Let's live that way as a church. Let's strive for that goal. Some, through the history of the church, in my few years, I have heard over and over again people feeling alienated from the church, feeling like others may looking at others saying, "Oh, well, they feel better than them than we are," or "I don't feel as good. I'm not as good as everybody else here." And there's that struggle. Let me just say, no matter what side of the coin you're on, both are equally wrong. We are equal because of the cross. A little louder, please. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. She's getting it. Look at Peterson, who writes the message. Look how he worded these verses. He says it this way: "Christ's love has moved me to such extremes." You have that up there? Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:14 to 16 in the message. "Christ's love has moved me to such extremes. His love was the first and last word in everything we do. Our new life, our firm decision is to work from this focused center." Look at that word. To work from this focused center. What's the focus center? The focus center is that the new life. The new life is the focus center. One man died for everyone. That puts everyone in the same boat. He included everyone in his death so that everyone could also be included in his life, a resurrection life, a far better life than people ever lived on their own. Because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. We look at the Messiah that way once. We looked at the Messiah that way once and got it all wrong. As you know, we certainly don't look at him that way anymore. I love how Peterson worded that. That is our focus center in how we look at people. That people are included, they're welcome because of Jesus and what he has done. The third thing in that first step of faith is that God is the one who makes us a new creation. 17 and 18, Paul says, "Anyone who belongs to Christ is a new person. The past is forgotten. Everything is new. God has done it all." You hear what it's saying? The past is forgotten. That means that when you sit here and think about your past, you are remembering something that God has forgotten. We don't have to let it hang over our heads. God has done it all. He sent Christ to make peace between himself and us, and he has given us the work of making peace between himself and others. When someone tells you, "You know, I'm going to change. How about January?" When we say, "I'm going to go on a diet. I'm going to change this." What do we say when we hear somebody say that? "Yeah, right." Yeah, right. Or the other way to say it is, "Prove it. Prove it. Prove it." Society says, "Prove it." When it comes to us following Jesus and being a Christian, society looks at us and says, "Prove it." And we look at ourselves that way and we say, "Well, can I prove it? Can I really prove that I'm a Christian?" I want you to listen to it this way. Society says, prove it. Jesus said, I already did it. See, our identity is in Jesus, not in how well we live as a Christian. That's the first step of faith. And let me tell you, that's why I call this a step of faith. We have to believe that Jesus did it. Because if we're going to rely on ourselves, we are going to fail miserably as a Christian. We're not going to view ourselves as a Christian. We take a step of faith, knowing, trusting in Jesus. The second step of faith is this. It's a new way of living. Paul says it very clearly in verse 15. He says, and he died for all, so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised. This new way of living is that we are called to serve God and others. Our life now becomes about, how do I serve God? How do I live for God? And you see, this is the second step of faith, because if we got this step first, we are now relying on ourselves. The first step is saying, do I believe that Jesus really did it? The second step says, I'm going to step forward and I'm going to make steps about living for Jesus because of what he did for me. The first commandment, Jesus said the greatest commandment is what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. The second commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. And that's what Paul says in verse 19. He says this way, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. He's saying this way, this new way of living, you and I are now the voice of God to other people. I want you to process that a little bit. You and I are now the voice of God to others. Paul says he's a minister of reconciliation. He is to take this message of Jesus to other people. That is a pretty significant responsibility for the Jesus follower. That you are called to share, to be Jesus, and to share Jesus with others. The message of Jesus. That's significant. The new way of living involves serving God and others. It involves being the voice of God to others. It involves, by the way, if you really want to have, you know, how many of you go home and talk about this preacher over the dinner table? And if you don't answer that. I'd rather not know. but if you really, you could really take this, we are the voice of God to others, and you could really take that totally out of context. Because wouldn't we all love to just tell people exactly what we think God thinks? Wouldn't that be fun? No, it wouldn't be fun. It'd be damaging. It'd be harmful. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about sharing Jesus with others that may never hear about Jesus or know what Jesus really did unless you tell them. Third thing, we are continually changing to be more like Jesus, this new way of living. Therefore, whether we are at home or away, this is verse 9 and 10. We didn't read this in the opening text, but look at this. Paul says, therefore, whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to be pleasing to him, for we must all be appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may be repaid for what he has done in the body, whether good or bad. For the follower of Jesus, our goal is to please Jesus. We will be accountable for the life we live. We're going to stand before God. Jesus' blood has paid for our failures. But that doesn't mean it doesn't matter how we live. It does matter. This is not a question of heaven or hell right here. Jesus took care of that question. We gain heaven. We have the hope of heaven. We have the promise of heaven through our faith in Jesus, not of what we do. But as a follower of Jesus, what we do matters. And that is really a step of faith. You see, that first step of faith is us believing that we have a new identity in Jesus. The second step of faith is saying, you know what? I'm going to choose to live my life for Jesus, even though I'm not going to be able to do it perfectly, even though I'm going to fail. I'm going to keep stepping out in faith. In other words, I'm going to keep making New Year's resolutions. I'm going to call them Jesus resolutions. That because of what Jesus did, I'm going to do this. Yeah, I know it's a habit and I have a hard time breaking it, but I'm going to do it because of what Jesus did. I'm going to fight against that sin nature. I know that I love to sit around and talk about people, but I'm going to stop that. I'm going to ask God to help me stop that because I know it's not what Jesus wants me to do. You understand what I'm saying? I'm using it as an illustration. I'm not looking at anybody in particular here. I'm just sort of saying we all have our stuff. Let's fight. That is a step of faith. And the beauty is in this flower. God is a master designer. And the beauty is that Jesus said when he was with his disciples, he said, it's better that I leave you. He said, because when I leave, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And that's one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to design those who have placed their faith in Jesus and to work in our lives and make us more like Jesus. It's the role of the Holy Spirit, one of the roles. The third step, faith step number three, is what I'm going to call a step into the unknown. And I like this because I really encourage you that when you read we often want to read the Bible, and we want to read it as this serious book that we got to figure out what is God trying to tell us. There's actually a lot of humor in the Bible. And if you read it and look for it, it's there. And right here is one of those verses where Paul is saying, if you guys think I'm nuts, that's really what he's saying. He's saying, if we are out of our mind, in other words, if what we are doing with our lives is absolutely crazy to you, it is for God. But if we have a sound mind, it is for you. Paul is saying this way. He's saying there is a step of faith for the Jesus follower that leads us to do things that are a little bit crazy in everybody else's eyes. Do you know what I'm talking about? If you look at Paul's life choices, you could call the guy crazy. He made crazy choices out of obedience to Jesus. You know, those two commands, to love God and love others, they compel us to respond to life in ways that others think we're crazy. Loving those who hate you, forgiving those who do you wrong, that's nuts. You have every right to hold grudges and to hate those who hate you. So our culture says. It's crazy to think that you would give of your finances to help someone else, or that you would tithe. That's nuts. Why would you do that? It's crazy to think that you would give up a bright, beautiful, warm Sunday morning as we had this morning. come to a church. What a stiff and boring thing to do. You're nuts. It's crazy you fill in the blank. It's a lot of things followers of Jesus do that could be labeled as crazy. There's a new movie out. released Friday, God's Not Dead 2. I never saw the first God's Not Dead. I didn't see God, didn't see the second one yet. But I happened to read an article of that talked about the star of the, or the main actor in the movie. Again, I haven't seen it, Melissa Joan Hart. And in this article, which was talking about why she chose to do this movie, and I'm not endorsing a movie, I know nothing about it, just illustration here. She made the statement that she has grown in her faith and walk with Jesus. Talked about a Bible study that she's a part of, and she says one of the things she has determined not to do in a movie is to say, and by the way, the title of the article, if you want to Google it and read it, was something about three words she won't say. But she has determined not to say in a movie, "Oh my God." And she was being ridiculed for this. And the reason she said she determined that she wasn't going to use those words, she says there's other ways to express the same sentiment. And she said she has begun to realize in her own life the significance of the name of God. Now that was her choice. A lot of people, and the article sort of alluded to people who thought she's nuts. What would a producer say if she was handed a script and she brought that script back and says, "I'm in, except this needs to be rewritten. I need another phrase." They would look at her like she's crazy. She sort of alluded to that. I'm not quoting the article here. I'm using it as an illustration. Now, to her, that became a very significant thing. It was one of those crazy things that she felt she needed to do as a follower of Jesus. It's a step of faith, my friends, church. It's a step of faith to step out and say, "I'm going to do this because this is what I know Jesus wants me to do," and forgetting what other people around are going to say or think of you. My mind went to the time when Jesus was with his disciples. And worship team, you can come up. My mind went to when Jesus was with his disciples and he sent them out into a boat in the Sea of Galilee to cross over to the other side. He sent them out, and Jesus would have full well known that a great wind was going to come up. And now I'm sitting here thinking, did I get two stories confused? You know, every now and then a pastor has this really check in his mind and saying, "Wait a minute." So I'm curious. What are you laughing at, Frank? Come on now. My friend Frank here, he's a retired pastor. He knows exactly what's going on here, right? All right. So was it a rough water when Jesus walked on the water, or was it not a storm? It was rough. Okay, so I'm not going crazy here. All right. See, that's why I wear blue jeans and I don't wear a tie, because, you know, a real pastor would dress up. But anyhow, preacher, I should say. Anyhow, so Peter, let's get back to the story. So Jesus sent them out into the water. And then late into the night, they see this ghost they thought was a ghost come walking across the water. And Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid, it is I." And Peter said to Jesus, he said, "Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." And you see, Peter just had this drive in him that he needed to prove it. And he said, "Jesus, tell me to come, and I have the faith to step out in obedience to you. I trust you enough that I can walk on this here water." The Bible says that Peter got out of the boat and started walking toward Jesus on the water. And then it says that he took his eyes off Jesus, and he began to look around him at the winds and the waves. It says, when he did, he began to sink. And this is the part of the story that I like, because it says that Jesus reached out his hand and he took Peter's hand. And he said, Peter, oh, you of little faith. I want you to see three steps of faith. When you choose to be a follower of Jesus, you're stepping out and you're making these steps of, I am no longer who I once was. My identity is in Jesus. I am now choosing to follow Jesus. I'm going to make steps of faith that say, I'm going to do what's right, even though everybody around me says I'm nuts for doing it this way. And that third step is stepping out into the unknown and saying, you know what? I believe that God can do something, wants me to do something that I don't even know about. I'm simply going to trust in Jesus. And the beauty of that is when we step out in faith and we start to fail, that's where the truth is that Jesus has our hand. I think I used this illustration last Sunday, but there's a significant difference between us seeing our sin and seeing Jesus and what he did on the cross, and us reaching up and grabbing hold of Jesus and saying, Jesus, I hold on to you, for you have forgiven my sin. There's a significant difference between that and us reaching out our hand to Jesus and saying, Jesus, will you forgive me? And Jesus reaching down and grabbing our hand. How many know that when someone's drowning, it's the rescuer who has to hold on? Jesus is the rescuer. And when we step out in faith, if we're relying on our own grasp on Jesus to keep us going, we're going to fail. But if we realize that Jesus has a hold of us, and if we fail and falter, he still has us. Because who are you? The song we sang, or was sung. Thank you for that song, by the way, during the offering. Who are we? I am yours. I am yours. You are Jesus' possession through your faith in him. He has a hold of you. And so we step out and we live life for him. Steps of faith. Following Jesus is one step of faith after another. You know, maturity as a Christian could be summed up by saying more faith. Not Bible knowledge, not living a perfect life, not how well you tell others about Jesus, all that's important stuff, but your maturity as a follower of Jesus or as a Christian is the level of your faith. It's more faith and living it out. Verse 21, the last verse we read, which is the verse from which the song we're going to sing was taken. And those of you who are being baptized, if you want to go start getting changed, you can do that at this time. But 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us. Wrap your brains around that. What's that saying? What's that saying? The one who did not know sin, meaning that Jesus was perfect. He was the Son of God. He came from a perfect place called heaven to a place on earth which was imperfect. And Jesus, who did not know sin, to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God wants to make us into something beautiful. He wants to design us, but he doesn't look at us as a sinner. He looks at us through our faith in Jesus. Amen. Amen. So we're going to sing a song that Chris Tomlin wrote a number of years ago. I was actually there when they sang this for the first time. He introduced this song and he gave the background to it. It's really neat. But as we sing this song this morning, I just want us to praise Jesus for his death, his resurrection, that he paid for our sin, that he gave us new life, and he is making, wants to make in you and I someone new, someone he wants to design in us, someone beautiful, changing our life. And let's just, as we sing this song together, let's praise him for that. Stand together. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did. Thank you that you want us to step out in faith in following you, in our identity, in the choices we make, and in the unknown, the unknown things in life. We want to just move forward, Jesus, because of what you did for us. Thank you, God, that you sent Jesus, your Son. Thank you that you sent your Holy Spirit that we can, to make us into new, someone new. Lord, I just pray that the words of your scripture that we asked to have made clear to us this morning, that they would go with us and that we would remember them as we leave this place. So as we sing, Father, may this be a song of worship from our hearts. To you be honor and glory. Amen.